Amen, amen. All right, we guys can have a seat right now if we get into this word this morning in our new series, Strength and Weakness. The title of today's message is You're Stronger Than You Think. Come on, say that with me. You're stronger than you think. Let me give you the context of what's happening here. But for the book of Judges, it's all about Israel and their pattern they have with God. You see, whenever there was a time of peace and everything was good, it's kind of like saying everything is good, the bills are paid, the kids are behaving, I got a raise at work, everything is just awesome. The Israelites had this pattern of forgetting about God. They would just abandon the Lord and go and turn to other idols, and they would worship other pagan gods and just put God behind them and move on. And then trouble would hit their lives. And when trouble would hit their lives, they were quick to cry out to God and beg Him to help. And God would send another judge and another judge to help them. So in this passage of Scripture, the Israelites have now faced 40 years of peace. Imagine 40 years of peace. Everything is fine. Everything is good. And like the pattern says, and like the pattern goes, after 40 years of peace, the Israelites abandoned God. They turned away from the Lord to worship other gods. And God allowed the Midianite army. Now, the Midianite army was about 135,000 strong. They were bigger and stronger than the nation of Israel at the time. And God allowed the Midianite army for 7 years to invade their land every year during the time of a harvest. It was a time that everyone would work and plant, and when the time came to harvest everything they worked for, and imagine you grow your seeds, you grow your wheat, and it's time to finally get the fruit of your labor, the harvest. As soon as it would pop out the ground and it was ready to be picked, the Midianite army would come and take everything from them. The Midianite army would steal all their hard work and labor. The Midianites would steal all of their harvest. The Midianites not only stole from them, the Midianites would kill many of them and destroy them, a lot of their land. So in this passage, we see that the Midianite army was using food as a weapon. They would grab all of their harvest, all of their food, to control them and starve them. And they knew as long as they were starving, as long as they were hungry and had no food, we can control them. So for 7 years, the army of Midian, the enemy, was stealing, killing, and destroying. And they were under control. And the Israelites were not. They were overpowering them. See, it reminds me what the Bible says. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus warns of the devil. And Jesus says the thief has a purpose, and it's to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give you them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life. The word life there translates joy. You realize that Jesus says, I've come so you will have joy, so you would have peace, so you would have an abundance of life. But there is a devil out there that has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that is exactly what the devil wants to do in your life. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your faith. And he wants to destroy your hope. And that's why so many people allow the enemy to control their lives. You have so many people, so many Christians, so many people in the church that are controlled by an enemy that's stealing and killing and destroying them. So he kills your joy, he destroys your hope, and you lose your faith because the enemy never stops attacking you. And for 7 years, life is hard, especially for Gideon. The Bible says that Gideon was threshing wheat at a wine press. Now I want to explain to this so you can have a mental picture of this. But every time you would go to harvest wheat, you would grab the wheat and you would just throw it in the air. And as the wheat came out in the air, the seed would fall off and the chaff would just blow away. That's how you harvest wheat. But see, Gideon can't do that because the enemy is out in the harvest field. Gideon is afraid that the enemy is going to come and take everything from him. So Gideon has a plan. He says, I'm going to go to one place that would never expect me to be. I'm going to go inside a wine press and I'm going to thresh my wheat there. So just imagine Gideon. He has his wheat and he's inside. There's no wind, there's no air, and he's inside and he's having to, by hand, pick out the wheat. He's having to, by hand, work. It's so much easier to go outside and just throw it in the air and grab the grain. But Gideon, because of the enemy, he has to work even harder. So imagine now Gideon, he's inside and he's threshing wheat by hand. And he's grabbing the wheat by himself and he's thinking to himself, why is my life so hard? Why is God doing this? Life is so unfair. Why doesn't anything change? Every year, every harvest, the enemy comes and just destroys everything. And I'm miserable and I'm tired and I'm losing everything. And life is so much harder for me. Where is God in all of this? And he's tired. He's frustrated. He's just trying to survive. How many of you feel like Gideon right now? It feels like life is extra harder on you. Amen? It feels like it's easier for everyone else but you. It feels like God is doing nothing sometimes and the enemy is doing everything to destroy you. Like Gideon, some of you just feel like you're on survivor mode. Just trying to make it. It's no wonder that in the Bible, when we read about Gideon, he's lost faith. Gideon is discouraged. And Gideon actually feels something that a lot of us feel. He feels abandoned by God. You see, when the angel of the Lord visits him, he says, Gideon, God is with you. He has a plan for your life. You're a mighty warrior. And Gideon says, if God is with me, why has all of this happened? You see, Gideon has a question that often a lot of us have. Why does God allow bad things to happen? Where is God in all of this trouble we're in? Where is God in all the pain? And all the sickness? Where is God when there's abuse? Where is God when there's loss? Where is God? And all this problems and bad things happen. He's honest with the Lord. He's saying, where is God? God has abandoned me. He's saying, where's all the miracles? Where are all the miracles I heard about growing up as a kid? Gideon said, growing up, I heard about Egypt. I heard about Pharaoh. I heard about Moses. I heard about the provisions of God in the desert. I heard about the sea splitting open. I heard about all of that. But see, what I hear about God is not what I see in my life. And I hear God is a miracle worker, but where's my miracle? And I hear God is a protector, but why hasn't He protected us for 7 years? And I hear God is a provider, but why does everything get taken from me? See, Gideon is honest and he asks us a sincere question. Where's God when bad things happen? But Gideon is going to learn something that we're all going to need to learn something. Why does God allow that to happen? There's some key life lessons we can learn from Gideon when it feels like the enemy is winning your life. There's valuable lessons we can take from Gideon when you've lost faith and you're feeling discouraged and hopeless. And there's a lot of lessons we can learn from Gideon when it feels like God has abandoned you. You see, that day God told Gideon, I'm with you. But see, Gideon said, this is not how I feel. And what we're going to learn from Gideon is sometimes your feelings are not fact. You may feel one way, but that doesn't mean it's true. Your feelings might be true. But the reality of what you feel may be inaccurate. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will never abandon you. God will always be with you. God will be with you till the very end. So don't let the devil ever lie to you that God has abandoned you. You're on your own with this. There's some powerful life lessons we learned from Gideon. I want to share with some of the things that I've learned from reading the story of Gideon. It's going to be a huge blessing in your life. You guys ready for these lessons? The first lesson we learned from Gideon is in verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The first lesson we're going to learn from the story of Gideon is you can't blame God. Say that with me. I can't blame God. Come on, and turn to your neighbor, help me preach this one. Say, hey, you can't blame God. You see, God's always, His design, His purpose was always for a life of peace, a life of joy. It's in the story of creation in Genesis. But there are major factors that ruin that. The devil, sin, and our free will to choose wrong. That's what messes up your life. The Bible is clear. God didn't just wake up one day and say, how can I make Gideon's life miserable? I think I'm going to just make Gideon's life hard for no reason. The Bible is clear that in the story here, that the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. The word evil in the Hebrew is a word that literally means to be in pain, to be injured, to be miserable. Imagine with me this. God is saying that the pain and the bad things that are happening in your life and the misery you feel is a result of your own choices. You see, pain in our lives will always be unavoidable. You and I will always have a season when life hurts. You will always have a season when life injures. You will always have a season when life is miserable. Just because you are a believer, just because you come to church, you and I will never arrive in a place in this life where we say, from now on, life is always going to be great. As long as you have breath in your lungs, there's going to be seasons when your life is hard. Why does God allow our life to be hard? Well, the obvious is first, the devil. He's real. He's after you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Can we all say amen? That's what the devil wants. So yes, like the story of Job, the devil will attack you. Sometimes life is hard because of sin. The sin of others. I'm not talking about your sins yet. I'm talking about the sins of others. Some of you have been hurt by someone else's selfishness, someone else's greed, someone else's sin. The biggest lie our world has ever adopted is, I'm only hurting myself, no one else. And that is simply not true. Sin will not only hurt you, sin that you choose to do will hurt everyone around you. It will hurt your kids. It will hurt your marriage. It will hurt your family. And some of us know that we have suffered in this life, not because of anything the devil has done or anything that we have done, but we have suffered because of the sins of others. Sometimes bad things happen because the Lord is building your character. Your character and faith is not grown in church. Your faith and your character is grown in trials and hardships. So God allows it, He says, like a fire that purifies gold. He allows you to go through these fiery trials to produce in you godly character. But there's one factor why life is hard. There's one factor that why life is miserable that many of us choose to ignore, that many of us choose to deny. And it's found in verse 8 through 10. Look at what the Lord said. The Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. God is saying, I have been good to you. I drove out your enemies. I gave you this land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. I said it, I'm the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living in. But notice this factor, God says it. But you have not what? Listened to me. Highlight that if you're reading your Bible. Highlight that, remember that. What the Bible says, you have not listened to me. Come on, let's humble ourselves for a moment. Think way back in your life. And some of the pain you've experienced in your life and hardship. Some of the most miserable times in your life have been when we have chosen not to listen to God. Not to obey His Word. That's called disobedience. And sometimes what we're going to learn from the story of Gideon, it's easy to blame God. It's easy to say, where is God in all of this? It's easy to say, why is God allowing this? But the truth is, God allows hardships to discipline you so that you will realize and recognize where in your life you are not listening to God. So actually, when life is miserable, when life is hard, and you know what you're going through is a result of your own disobedience, count that as a blessing because God is trying to get you back on the right track. In fact, Proverbs 3:11 says this, my child, my children, that's us. Don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't get upset. Isn't that true? We always get upset. Why is God doing this? Why is God so mean? Why is God allowing this? But if you would humble yourself, you might recognize that some of the pain in your life is a result of your own choice of evil and disobedience. The Bible says, don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. You see, what God is saying here is that sometimes the pain in our lives, the pain that Gideon was experiencing, was not the devil, was not because of the sins of others. The pain that Gideon was experiencing was a direct result of sinful, willful disobedience. It's when you say, I know what God says. I know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to do what I think is right. Notice the Bible says when they did what was wrong in the sight of the Lord, when you choose to live in disobedience, you're not choosing to see life the way God sees it. You want to see it for yourself. And you say, I don't care what God says. I'm going to live by my own views, my own opinion, and I'm going to do what I want. And God says, go ahead. But I'll discipline. Discipline is a result of God saying, I love you. And the Bible says, blessed is the person who understands and gets wisdom. See, the real question when life is hard is not, where is God? The real question is, where am I with God? The Bible calls us to examine ourselves, to see if we're in the faith. And sometimes when life is hard, I challenge you to take a real deep examination of your spiritual walk with God. And then you might discover, if you humble yourself and you get wisdom and understanding from God, the Lord might discipline you and show you you are where you are because of the choices you've made. And when God says you are where you are because of what you've chosen to do, you might examine yourself and stop saying, where is God? But you're saying, where am I? Am I far from God? Am I living in sin? Am I in direct violation of God's word? Am I going through this because, Lord, I have offended you? It's one of the prayers that David prayed. David, when his life and his family and everything was falling apart, he got on his knees and he said, "Search me, O God. Search my heart and see if there's anything in my life that's offensive to you. Lord, show me if I'm wrong. Show me, Lord, if this is the devil. Show me if this is a result of people and their own sin. Show me, Lord, if you're trying to build character. But Lord, show me also if it's me. It's my choice. Am I in the wrong?" See, if you say, "Pastor, I am in the wrong. I've made choices in direct disobedience to God." And the second lesson we learn from Gideon is in verse 6. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Now pay attention here, because this is where it gets amazing. The Bible says Israel was reduced to starvation. The word "reduced" there is a Hebrew word, dalil, how you pronounce it, or dachilil, can't say it right. It literally means to be at the lowest or at the bottom. To be reduced is a word that means, "Lord, I'm at my worst. It can't get lower than this. I'm at the bottom. Come on, show me your hands if you've ever had a moment where you said, 'I'm at the lowest of low right now.' Come on, be honest. I'm at the lowest." Somebody say, "Pastor, my life is at the lowest right now. I'm at the lowest with God. I have done things I've never thought I'd do. I'm living in ways I thought I'd never live. I'm experiencing things I thought I'd never experience. But Lord, I disobeyed and I chose wrong." Sometimes in life, like Gideon and the Israelites, you're going to be down to nothing. You're at the bottom. But the Bible says they cried out, "Lord." The second lesson you learn from Gideon is no matter how low you are in life, you could always cry out to Jesus. You could always cry out to the Lord. And I've always wondered, well, what will my lowest point be in life? I've always wondered that. And my lowest point actually happened when I found out Jericho's life was hanging by the thread this week. And I told my parents, "This is the scariest thing I've ever gone through. This is the worst I've ever felt. This is the most anxious I've ever gone through. I have never in my life, this is what I've been reduced to. I am at the lowest point of my life, Lord. But you realize when I was at my lowest, I recognized that right there in that hospital, I could cry out to God for help. I could cry out to God," because you can cry out to God wherever you are. Notice that Gideon was hiding. It doesn't matter if you're hiding in sin. It doesn't matter if you're hiding depression. You're hiding loneliness. You're hiding brokenness. No matter who you are, where you're at, how low life has gotten, there is a God that is not only with you, but you can cry out to. You can cry out to Him. In fact, I remember that morning before Jericho was even rushed to give birth to our child. I read Isaiah 55:6, had no idea why I was reading it, and had no idea I would need it. The Lord is good. That morning I read this around 4:30 in the morning. "Seek the Lord while He can be found. Seek the Lord while you can. Find Him. Call on Him now. While He is near." 4:30 in the morning, I said, "Whatever. I know that verse already. Why am I reading it?" And I started reading about ants. "9 a.m. Wife is hanging by a thread. holding a little baby girl, realizing I don't even know how to do laundry, realizing I need my wife. True story, that's what I told. I prayed to God, because you can be honest. Not even knowing what I can pray. And I don't know, what do I say, Lord? What do I do, Lord? The doctors aren't telling me anything. What do I do? And I remember this verse, and God was saying, do you remember what you read this morning? Call on me now for help. And all I said was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. It takes great strength, brokenness, and humility to say, Lord, I need you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, back this up. If my people who are called by thy name will what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. Isn't that beautiful? I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will restore their life. See, the second lesson we learn from Gideon, you can always cry out to God. But it takes great humility to say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm scared. I'm worried. Lord, I need you. It took 7 years of them miserable, 7 years of the enemy attacking them. 7 years. Why 7 years? I don't know, but in my mind, I think that for 7 years, they thought, well, maybe this will pass. Maybe they said, oh, we got this. We can do it. We can make it. Maybe they thought they didn't need God. Maybe they felt guilty. How can we even cry out to God after we've turned from Him? For 7 years, they did not seek the Lord. But on that 7th year, I think they got tired of the way that life was. I think they got tired of the enemy taking everything from them. They probably got tired of even being tired. And somewhere down the line, they humbled themselves. They cried out to God and said, Lord, we need you. The Bible says in verse 12 and 16, this is where it gets even more amazing. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now when you read that, it's not talking about an angel like you think of. In the Old Testament, the phrase, the angel of the Lord, is a phrase that literally talks about Jesus, the chief of all angels. And in the Old Testament, you're going to see this a lot because it's called the Christophany. It's where Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Jesus showed up to Gideon and said, mighty hero, the Lord, capital, is with you. This is how we know it's Jesus, because an angel could not have said, hey, the Lord is with you, because the angel would have been faster than saying that. But the fact that it was Jesus said, the Lord is with you. Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all the miracles that my ancestors told us about? Didn't he say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and has handed us to the Midianites? The Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But notice what he said. But Lord, Gideon replied, how? How can I? How can I do this? How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in all of my family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Here's the amazing lesson you're going to learn, the third one. The Lord showed up. Jesus shows up, and he calls him a hero. And Gideon disagrees with him. Jesus says, hey, you're a mighty warrior. I got plans for you. I'm going to do great things in your life, Gideon. Gideon, this is not the end. You're going to defeat that enemy that's been defeating you. You would think that if we see Jesus right there in front of us, we would say, I'm going to believe you because you're Jesus. I know you're telling the truth because you're Jesus. You don't lie. But Gideon said, how? Jesus, don't you know who I am? Jesus, I'm the lowest of the low. I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. He said, my tribe is the smallest. Manasseh was the smallest of the 12 tribes. He said, my clan is the smallest. And every tribe, there was a clan. Within the clan, there was family. And within the family, there was one leader, a patriarch. And Gideon said, I'm the lowest of the low in my own family. So what did Gideon tell God? You can't use me. You don't know who I am. You don't know where I'm from. I'm nothing. I'm the lowest of the low. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus shows up, before the problem's solved, before the enemy is defeated, before God can even use Gideon, Jesus says, you're a warrior. You're a hero. Why did Jesus do this? Teach us a valuable lesson is lesson number 3. God sees more than we see. Come on. God sees more than we see. Gideon is failure. His past. His choices. All he sees is where he's not, where he's weak. At first, when I read this, I thought Gideon was just being pitiful, negative. But can I tell you, Gideon, he's actually just telling Jesus the truth. It's not pity, low self-esteem, like pastors preach it. He's telling Jesus the truth. He is the lowest of the low. And what makes this amazing is that if you feel like God can't use you, if you feel like you're the lowest of the low because of who you are, where you're from, what you've done, I got news for you today. You can be used by God. There's no one that God wants to use more than someone who's the lowest of the low. The weakest of the weak. The baddest of the bad. The Bible says that the Lord uses the foolishness, the foolish things to shame the wise. But when God begins to use you, it's not because you're awesome. It's not because you're smart. It's not because you're needed. It's not because you have a great, you're just such an asset to the ministry of Christ. Listen, if God is using you, He says, I'm going to prove to everyone else what a loser you are, but how great I am. Yeah, praise God for that. He said, I'm going to prove. So every time I'm being used by God, I don't brag about it because it's a reminder of how foolish and weak I am. That's why when I told people I'm going to be a pastor, they laughed. Just like that. I'm telling you, my own pastor, whose daughter I was dating at the time, sat me down with other pastors in the office and said, I think you should reconsider your calling. I don't think you're called because of X, Y, and Z. And I felt discouraged. I stood up, I left that office, and I said, the Lord is going to prove you wrong. And if you're wondering, yeah, that relationship didn't work out. But anyway, stop telling yourself, God can't use me. God can't do anything. I'm the lowest of the low. You notice that Jesus didn't tell him, don't talk like that. Be positive about yourself, didn't you? No, the reason that Jesus didn't say anything is because Gideon was right. The Lord didn't disagree when he said, I'm the lowest of the low. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I'm the worst of the worst. God's going to say, yeah, you are. God, I'm such a miserable person. Yeah, you are. Lord, I'm a failure. He said, oh, yeah, you are. You know what else Jesus would say? But I'm with you. I'm going to use you. Gideon just said, Lord, why are you calling me a hero? Why are you calling me a warrior? Because God wants you to know, I see what you know. You see, when Jesus shows up, He gives you a new identity. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is not in who people say you are. Your identity is not your childhood. Your identity is not your past. Your identity is not your failures and sin. Your identity is not what the world thinks. Your identity is only found in Jesus Christ, who calls you more than a conqueror, who has called you by name, who sees what you know. But see, we mistakenly make our identity, you know why there's so much echo now? We mistakenly make our identity in our physical life, in our past, and everything we've done. But the fact that Jesus calls him a hero means that the Lord sees more than we do. The Lord doesn't call you by your past. He doesn't call you by where you're at right now. You realize when the Lord looks at you, He sees what you're going to be. Let's just stop pretending like this is normal. Can you just imagine with me, when the Lord looks at you, He doesn't see what you've done. He doesn't see where you are. What He is focused on is what you are going to be. So He can take the worst of the worst, the weakest of the weakest, the baddest of the bad. He says, you don't know what I see. The Lord might see you right now and say, I see a leader. I see a family man. I see someone who's going to break their addiction once and for all. I see someone that's going to overcome their depression. I see someone that I can use. Come on, give them praise this morning for that. It's important to know that your identity is in Christ. Why is it so important that you know that your identity is who God says you are? Because the fact that Gideon had no idea he was a warrior, Gideon had no idea he was called by God, and because Gideon didn't know who he really was in Christ, it kept him hiding in the cave, miserable, with the enemy in control. If you want the devil to really control your life, if you really want the devil to make you miserable, live a life where you're walking not in your identity in Christ. And just focus on yourself, your past, your mistakes, your weaknesses, your misery, the problems you have. No one who's ever focused on that ever lives to be victorious. I'm sorry. No one says, man, ever since I just melted away in my past, ever since I've been discouraged and miserable about my mistakes and my sin and guilty, I gotta tell you, I've never felt so victorious. I'm telling you, ever since I've had this low self-esteem, ever since I tell myself I'm ugly and useless to God, ever since that, I'm telling you, I have never, the presence of the Lord, I'm just telling you to do it. The devil wants to have you hiding. Why? Because he knows that if you come out in public, you're going to destroy him. He wants you hiding in your depression. He wants you hiding in guilt, hiding in low self-esteem and misery. The Lord sees what you will be. The last lesson we learned from Gideon. First of all, you can't blame God. It's your own disobedience. Second, you can always cry out to Him, no matter who you are, where you are. And third, not only will Jesus show up, but He will give you a new name. A new identity. He sees more than you see. Right now you might be seeing misery and loneliness and depression. You might be seeing hopelessness, but the Lord sees who you will be. Lastly, verse 22 and 27. It gets real here. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he realized it was Christ. He cried out, "O sovereign Lord." That's how we know it's the Lord, because he doesn't call, you can't call an angel sovereign Lord. This was Jesus. "O sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I have seen God face to face." Jesus says, "It's all right." The Lord replies, "Do not be afraid. You will not die." Gideon built an altar to the Lord. You don't build altars to angels, you build altars to God. He built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains there in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiathar to this day. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Take the second bull from the father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal. Cut it down, the Asherah pole, standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this sanctuary. Sacrifice a bull as a burnt offering on the altar using a few of wood at the Asherah pole." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people in the town. The fourth and final lesson we're going to learn from Gideon is defeating your enemy starts at home. And no, your wife is not the enemy, your husband's not the enemy. I want to defeat him. That's not what I'm saying. But God had big plans for Gideon. God had a mighty call on his life. He was finally going to defeat the Amorites. He was going to defeat the Midianites. He was going to defeat all his enemies publicly. He was going to do this, by the way. But before the Lord can use him publicly, pay attention, before the Lord can use him publicly, he needs to deal with Gideon privately. God didn't just say, "Gideon, get out there and fight. I'll be with you. You're going to win." No. The first thing God says, he tells him, "Gideon, I want you to do something for me." He says, "Okay, Lord, I'm the warrior. Let's go. I'm going to fight now." He goes, "No, we're not going to fight yet. But Lord, you said I was going to defeat the Midianites. I want to win. I want to conquer. Let's go. I'm ready." God says, "No, Gideon, you don't understand. I'm watching and I'm looking at your family. I'm looking at your father's home where Gideon most likely lived." And he said, "I'm looking at your home. Gideon, there's an idol there to Baal and there's an Asherah pole. There's pagan worship going on. There's sin in that home. So Gideon, before I can even use you out in public, we got to talk about what you're doing in private." Because so many of us, this is what we do. Gideon built an altar to God. When he knew it was Jesus, he built an altar right there. Did you guys catch that? He built an altar and he worshiped Jesus. And while he's worshiping Jesus, the Lord knows that back home he has idols and sin. See, you will never conquer the enemy if you're one way giving worship to God in church, but after this, you go home and there's private sin. And that's how a lot of us want it. We want to build an altar. We want to worship God. We want to come to church, and we want Him to defeat our enemy. We want to live in victory. But Lord, don't touch my family. Don't touch my home. This is my private life. This is my sanctuary. And in your home, there might be sin right now. That's why the enemy keeps winning. So that day, He tells Gideon, go to your family and destroy the idols. Think about this. He says, Gideon, you can't have both. You can't expect me to give you victory and defeat your enemy and use you in a mighty way and bless you, because he got blessed later. You can't expect me to do all of that while back at home you're not going to honor me. If you really want to be used by God and you want to live in victory, defeat the enemy, it starts at home. What are you doing in private? It starts at your home. It starts with the family. And maybe back at home with your family, there's compromise. And it's no wonder so many Christians are being defeated by the enemy who kills and destroys, because we want to come to church and worship Him publicly. Have no problem with the altar. I'll build you an altar, Lord. I will worship. I will give sacrifices. I will serve you, Lord. But back home, there's sin. I'll close with this. Just imagine. God says, go to your family and destroy the idols. Now, Gideon was afraid, because this is what we're going to learn as we follow the Lord. When we choose to serve Jesus, we're going to find out some of our family doesn't. Amen? And that family might be your parents, your grandparents, your cousins, your childhood friends. And God says to Gideon what He's going to tell you. If you want me to be, you want to be victorious and blessed, and you want to be used by God, you have to stand up for me, and you have to stand up against your family, who doesn't want to worship, who doesn't want to serve, who wants to live in sin. And Gideon was afraid, because it's scary when you tell your family, I'm serving you. It's scary when you say, listen, I don't live like that anymore. I don't do that anymore. I'm not going to go to the party, right? I'm not going to do that anymore, because that's not me. I have a new identity. But your family's not going to understand. Your family's going to want you to get drunk with them. Your family's going to want you to live in sin. Your family's going to want you to live in fornication. Your family's not going to understand why you're choosing to serve Jesus. But see, when Jesus shows up in your life and you're serious about being used by Him and served, and you want Him to just destroy the enemy in your life. See, the lesson we learn here is that Gideon has to stand up for God against his family. Gideon was afraid, but he did it at night. I love this. Why? Because he's honest. The Bible doesn't say he went right out and destroyed everything. No, the Bible says, I did it at night because I was scared. But see, I love what the Bible teaches us. Do the right thing even when you're afraid. God doesn't get mad when you're afraid to do the right thing. God gets mad because you allow the fear to keep you from doing the right thing. Come on. So Gideon gets his friends and he goes out privately at night. And he starts destroying the idols in his family. He starts destroying the idols at his home. How do you think his family felt? His family was angry to the point that they wanted to kill him. This is the point we have to make in our lives today. You gotta say, Lord, I'm serious about serving you. But I know there's things in my home and family that I got to stand up to. Because I'm serious about serving God. I'm serious about having a godly home. I am serious about being used by Him. And Gideon destroyed all the idols and replaced them with a godly altar. Why? Because Gideon is teaching us to get rid of the filth and the garbage that's going to keep you from being used by God and replace it with things that are going to strengthen your relationship. And when Gideon did this, notice that the Bible says he called God the God of peace. Can I tell you right now, Gideon says, you are the God of peace. And that's when God tells him, go to your home then and destroy everything. Why? Because if you cannot have peace with God and peace with the world at the same time. You cannot have peace with God and peace with the ungodly. You have to choose. And if you choose to have peace with God, and you're going to live a life to honor Him, you're going to quickly find out that your friends and your family and the world is going to rise against you because they don't want to. So here's what we learned from the story of Gideon today. When you're at the lowest point of your life, the lowest of the low, we put it all together and it says this, when life is at your lowest, don't blame God. But examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. Examine if your heart is right with the Lord. And when you see that you're wrong and you see that the problem is you, don't feel guilty. Don't feel worthless. Cry out to Him because you can always cry out to God. And when you cry out to the Lord will show up and give you a new identity, a new name. But it doesn't stop there, because once you give your life to Jesus and you have a new identity, you're going to realize that there are still some old friends and old family members and old sin and habits that have to be broken. You have to stand up for God if you want to really see peace in your life. If you're at the lowest of the low, the Lord can still use you and bless you. But you have to be at a place where you say, Lord, I'm serious about being used. Come on, let's all stand for our feet. I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you. I'm not going to stick around if you don't mind, because I got to get back to the hospital. But I'm glad I showed up this morning. I'm glad I came today with this word. Because the next month we're going to learn these lessons from Gideon, because the story only gets more amazing. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray for you today. You're saying, Pastor, I'm at the lowest point of my life. And I don't know where God is. I don't see what God sees, but I see what I see. And what I see is a failure. What I see is pain and brokenness. What I see is someone that's worthless. I want to tell you this morning, that is so far from the truth. The Lord sees you. He sees someone not only that He can love and forgive, but He sees someone He can use. The Lord Jesus stands right there with you saying, will you choose me? Because I've already chosen you. You can repent of your sin and cry out to God and He will forgive you. But it takes great humility to say, I need you. I need the Lord. And if that's you this morning, with every head bowed, every head closed, and Pastor, I need the Lord Jesus in my life. You just put that hand up right now, where whoever you are, whatever you've done, God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you, dear. And lady, I see you there. I see you there. You put your hand down. Your identity is not your past. Your identity is not what you've done, what people say, or what people have done. Your identity is in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again for your sins. And the Bible says in Jesus, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the old is new. So that's you saying to me, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's all your hands. Just pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, call on you to forgive me of my sins. As I repent and humble myself, I ask you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all my sins. And use me like you, however you see. But today I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, if you're here this morning, you pray that you. The Lord has forgiven you. You are part of the family of God. Come on, praise God today for that. Come on. But if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I know I'm a believer. I know I follow Jesus. I know I'm saved. Like Gideon, I'm at a low point where I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is thinking. But if the enemy is just overcoming my life daily, and Pastor, to be honest with you, I'm going to worship God here today. But back home, there's some things in my life I know don't honor you. Back home, there's some family that I need to stand up for, to stand up for Jesus. But I want to be serious about serving God, not only in this place, but at home with my family. That's you today, and that's your confession today. You can put your hand up so I can pray over you. The power of prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All around the room. Let's be honest. We're going to go back home for some things that the Lord doesn't honor. And you might be fighting with family that doesn't want to serve God. You're going to have to make a choice. But I'm telling you, if you choose to serve the Lord, you will not be disappointed. Let me pray over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, no other name, give us strength to stand against the family, the friends, and the people that don't understand why we serve Jesus. Let our home be honored to you. May the things we do, the things we see, and the things we choose honor you always. Like Gideon, we might be afraid to do it, Lord, but I pray you give us the strength to do it. To put away and destroy the things that don't honor you. And I pray, Lord, that our family, our ungodly family, will see us and see us serve the Lord. And forgive us for being double-minded, for building an altar that honors you and an altar that honors them. Forgive us, Lord. Give us strength in Jesus' name. In our weakness, you are strong. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God some praise today. You guys can have a seat. I pray that you guys enjoyed this first part of our series. You guys like it so far? Come on, this is strength and weakness. So next Sunday, it's going to be Gideon part 2. When Gideon is about to go into battle, how does God use him? This week, if you're stronger than you think, next Sunday is you're stronger than you feel. It's going to be a powerful message. Don't miss it next Sunday for part 2 of our series, Strength and Weakness.